Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
For Escambia County, and that is huge. We have started hiring incentives for our EMTs, and that will be given out to them over a two-year period of time, which will also help us with retention for those people. And we are working on a EMT training program, partnering with one of the local high schools to provide a job track for those folks. That way, as soon as they graduate and they turn 18, they can take the test to become a EMT, and we can partner with them alongside so they can have a job right out of high school and they can start working in our community.
So this is Ashley Hoffberger in a debate that she had with, or a forum. We don't call them debates anymore. I'm not really sure who made the decision that we would call them forums instead of debates, but I guess forums are more genial. Debate, you're like talking to each other in a forum and just kind of happen to be in the same room. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but okay. So this is at, Marcus Point Baptist? No, Olive Baptist Church. Slip of the tongue. Olive Baptist Church, put on by the folks at Finley JoJo and hosted by former Mayor Grover Robinson and former District 4 County Commissioner. So you have Ron Helms and Ashley Hoffberger. She's, I mean, technically the incumbent, the appointed, and he's the Democrat challenger. She's the Republican. I looked at the agenda. I don't know anything about this 22 new ambulances bit, but the other stuff is really good. The pay raises and the EMT training program, that's all really good. Those are the two issues that she's been running on. Like, not that they're the only things that she's interested in, but the reason she says she got in the race is because she came home one day and her child was ill and, you know, fire rescue had shown up, which is what they do when EMS can't get there fast enough. And the fire rescue folks were great, but they can't transport. Okay, they don't have a transport capability. So she's sitting there waiting on EMS, and the EMS dispatcher, they couldn't tell her how long it would be, and she's just waiting and waiting and waiting. And we have real serious, you know, issues in EMS over years. I mean, as long as I've lived here, we've had various kinds of issues in EMS. And she says, we're going to improve that. You know, that is one of my primary things. So that's one of the things she's campaigning on. The other thing she's campaigning on as a business owner, when she went to remodel the washroom over on North University off of Davis, or off of 9 Mile, sorry, that she says, like, the amount of permitting and the wait time that she had to go through just to do an interior remodel is just sick. And so trying to improve that process for business developers and owners, that's her other main platform.
So I have evaluated the opened positions in the permitting department. There are 6 of them. I met with Tim Tolbert, who is the head of the building department, and said, what do we need to do to get these positions filled? So we had a great brainstorming session over that. And we're also looking into AI options, which will help expedite and make sure that any of the plans that go through permitting are held to a specific standard. And what I like about the AI part is it takes the emotion out of it. So it's no longer my buddy or my friend or someone else got preferential treatment. It's all done through a computer and then checked by a human.
Yeah, those seem like pretty good improvements. Meanwhile, Ron Helms talking about, you know, who he is and the kind of introductory comments.
Let me start out by just telling you a little bit about myself. I'm a fiscal conservative. And some people ask me along the way, Ron, what does that mean? And it means that I'm going to go through the county budget line by line by line by line. I have already met with Stefan about the budget, and he's helped enable a very good process. And so I look forward to seeing where we can make improvements, where we have unnecessary spending, change where we are planning to spend that funds to areas in which we really need funding.
So I like Ron Helms. I get along well with Ron Helms. I think he's a good person. This is a weird answer to me. It's the kind of thing a lot of candidates would say. Okay, but the more I sit there and listen to him talking about this, I thought, well, does nobody else go through the budget? You know, like, it sounds like a good thing. You know, I'm going to look carefully at every line item in the budget and make sure that there's no waste. We're going to find that waste and we're going to get rid of it. Well, how do you know it's there? I mean, you're kind of implying that the budget people at the county are bad at their jobs. And I don't know if they are or not. I mean, maybe they are. You know, I'm definitely not a budget person, so don't ask me. That's just not my skill. But if you believe that, to me, okay, as a, you know, potential voter, I mean, not in District 4, but if I were a District 4 voter, what I would rather hear is I went through the budget line by line, and here are the 18 things I found that we can do differently, which would at least show that, A, you can back up what you're saying about budgetary issues, and B, that you actually have not just the hope of finding some omission, that suddenly you discover where no other commissioner, no county administrator, no budget person has yet found, that you're going to figure out how to do it better. But, you know, show me the 18 that you found. And I noticed this kind of pattern throughout the conversation between Ashley and Ron. And again, let me just say as an overview, I think either of them are good people. Either of them are good, you know, candidates. Somebody might say, well, you like her because she's a Republican and you don't like him because he's a Democrat. No. In fact, you know, we've been having this conversation about the school board going to a partisan ballot where you have Republicans versus Democrats instead of nonpartisan as it is right now, even though it is the most partisan position in local government. Easily the school board, because it's where all the flashpoint culture war issues come to play and fight. And that suddenly in the one place where they're actually fighting over culture issues, we're not allowed to talk about what our views are on culture. It's a weird one. I mean, it's kind of weird. So that's the Amendment 1. And as I've been thinking about Amendment 1, I know this is not on the ballot and I know this is never going to happen. But, you know, sometimes Andrew McKay dreams about things that can never happen. And here's the thing that I've been thinking lately. As much as I think it makes sense to have partisanship on the school board election, I actually think it doesn't make sense to have partisanship at the county commission level. I mean, what fundamental worldview differences between Republicans and Democrats show up in the issues at the county commission? And it doesn't seem to me like there's many. I mean, there are maybe some, but it strikes me that whereas the school board is the domain of the kinds of conflicts between Republicans and Democrats that we care about, I'm not sure that the county commission is. And I give you as my, now you might say, well, look at James Caulkins and all of his right-wing Republican proposals in Santa Rosa County. Yeah, but he went out of his way to make that county stuff. And what was the repeated criticism of him? This is not county business. What are you doing? These are state issues or federal issues, and you know, your dream of a state legislative slot or of a federal slot or of just being a relevant culture warrior or something like that, or ginning up the, you know, the right wing angry base or whatever view of that you have. He artificially induced the county into stepping into culture wars issues. It's not the natural domain of the county commission, really. And as another sort of side note on this, think about the Escambia County Commission makeup, right? It's four Republicans and one Democrat. Lumen May is the black Democrat. And I say that because we have a district that is specifically drawn in order to make a black person win the election. Like, that's going back decades about, you know, racial injustice and low representation. It's why we have single voter or single member districts in Escambia County. But just think about this for a second. You have, for the last 12 years, Lumen May, black Democrat, okay, and Stephen Berry, white Republican, according to the D and the R behind their names, have voted almost every single time in lockstep with each other. People call them the twins, and they always talk about getting along and being buddies and voting together. And if I showed you the votes and said, tell me which one's a Democrat, which one's a Republican, you wouldn't be able to tell because they're both the same. And, you know, Jeff Bergosh, for 8 years, has almost always voted in lockstep with them. They've been the three-vote block. That's not why that's been disrupted, because he got voted out. But you have two Republicans and a Democrat who almost always voted almost identically. I mean, every once in a while there'd be an issue. But for the most part, almost the same. Why? Well, it could be because various reasons, right? You could say Lumen May is not really a Democrat. He's secretly a Republican. I know Lumen. That's not true. Jeff Bergosh is secretly a Democrat. Based on things he said, I don't think that's true. Stephen Barry is secretly a Democrat. I don't know him well enough to know. He doesn't talk about those kinds of issues, so it's hard to tell. Maybe say he's the Republican in name only. I don't know. I think it's more likely that the issues that the county commission deals with just aren't RD issues. And so do we need to have partisanship in the county commission? I mean, would it change this race if you had just, Ron Helms and Ashley Hoffberger running against each other without knowing whether they're Democrats or Republicans? I mean, I don't know. Just, you would know Walker was a Republican. You'd know Buck is a Republican, the guys who she beat in the Republican primary, because if you know who they are. But I don't know. That's where my head is at a little bit, is that the school board is actually the partisan area domain and the county commission is really kind of not, even though it's obviously a partisan election the way we run them in Florida. Anyway, back to Ron Helms talking about what his general positions are, or how he will answer questions. This is kind of the introductory comments from this forum.
I'm also strong on ethics. And from every decision, the one thing that I think about before I give my response is what I am about to do, or we are about to do, ethically okay with me. And I think that's something that the Board of County Commissioners has missed a bit.
The only part of this statement that I would argue with is a bit. I would say there's been, look, they make a lot of, I won't say unimportant because a lot of it is really important, but a lot non-controversial votes, and then it seems like when it comes to the controversial ones, it sort of seems like they tend to just get the wrong answer pretty consistently, and especially on things where you talk about ethics issues, around lawsuits, around suing the general public, like the text messages or, the Medicare fraud and, forcing out Rami Edler, the medical director, who then got whistleblower of the year for her activities exposing the lies and corruption in Escambia. The only part I would quibble with is the a bit. We do seem to be lacking in the ethics department. Again, not every county commissioner. I always think it's a bit unfair because, there's good commissioners and bad commissioners, good council members and bad council members. You tend to refer to it as a whole. But you've got two 12-year incumbents and an 8-year incumbent who have been running the show for a long time. And so I think you kind of have to, focus on them a little bit. Which, by the way, when you're thinking about this election coming up, if you haven't voted yet in District 5, Stephen Barry, the incumbent, again, Republican, who votes almost every time with the Democrat, which I don't know who's which, right? Running against a no-party affiliate, Josh Robertson, I think there's a real simple way to view that election, which is if you love what the county's been doing for 12 years, then vote for Stephen Barry. He's been the primary person in charge of it. Really, I mean, a lot of people think that he's acting as the de facto county administrator because he's been around and he kind of takes that role. I'm not up on the fourth floor enough to know whether that's true or not. It often feels that way. But, okay, so if you love what the county's been doing across the board for 12 years, vote for him again. If you think it's time for somebody else to be running the county, vote for Josh. That seems like that's actually a lot of times you can't take credit or blame for things that are going on if you're an incumbent. But this, Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh, as a block, have been running the show for 8 years, period. So if you like the show, vote for the show. If you don't like the show, vote for a new one. That it's actually a weirdly easy choice to make, but depending on what you think about how the county's doing. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I have time for one more here. No, I have to come back some of this later. We'll play some of these clips because they got into some really interesting conversations. Conversations about single district versus, at-large voting. Conversations about impact fees and concurrency. Conversation about the homeless. I cut a lot of clips from this discussion. It was interesting, not just because it contrasts Ashley and Ron, but because it really brings up a lot of issues in the county. And, it's, in my opinion, part of this show is to educate you on when it comes to candidates, like particular candidates' views, but also just get you to thinking about some of these issues and, what's the right answer on these things, or at least what are the pros and cons of different positions. So 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Please join Ashner and Avant Health 65 Plus tomorrow for Pep Talk. Dawn Dorman and Sarah Kay will discuss social isolation with older adults during the holidays. Tune in and text or call with your questions for Ashner and Avant Health 65 Plus. For more information, find them on Facebook at Ashner 65. That's O-C-H-S-N-E-R 65.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why, at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pencil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because, hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's all psychological. You yell Barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell Shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
All veils and misty. Streets are blue.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I mean, I do feel like if I don't let it pay off, I'm robbing you of something you expect. So, yeah, let's just go ahead
and we're leaving let it play. Broken hearts behind. You mystify me.
Come on, baby. Hit me.
Mystify me. I need perfection.
It's so satisfying. It's so satisfying. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
DJ McKay giving us the music we didn't even know we needed.
You know, it's funny. You know how a lot of times what you wanted was just like 30 seconds of that song? That's what the bumper music is.
Yeah.
We get to have, like, talk and comedy, occasionally, and
sometimes,
news.
Sometimes you play a song and it just hits just
and
right.
And good music, right?
Absolutely.
That's the idea. Let's get ready for work, man. Go on.
Well, airlines are now required to refund passengers automatically for canceled or significantly delayed flights. Under the Department of Transportation's new rules, airlines are required to provide those refunds promptly and supposedly without customers even needing to ask. Former President Trump.
You mean we're going to require them to do what is like automatically obvious for any person in the known universe should do as a business owner?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Former President Trump held a campaign speech at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. He spoke for about an hour, covered all the usual issues, the border, the economy, and then mentioned that voting trends appear to be changing.
Republicans never lead in the early voting because for whatever reason, it's habit or it's a certain security they feel in going to the booth. But we never lead, and I don't know if we've ever led in early. Every single state we're leading in.
And, of course, he touted his leads in several swing states, but also says his campaign is doing better than usual in traditionally blue states.
Yeah, I mean, Republicans have been surging in Florida in the early voting. I know that, but, yeah, I'm a traditionalist. I like to vote on Election Day. I don't know how many Republicans versus Democrats have that same bias, so to speak.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. In the shadow of the White House, Vice President Kamala Harris vowed to put country over party.
On day one, if elected, Donald Trump would walk into that office with an enemies list. When elected, I will walk in with a to-do list.
Harris delivered her closing arguments from the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. It's the patch of park where former President Donald Trump rallied supporters on January 6th. Trump outlined his day one plans in an interview with Fox's Sean Hannity.
We're going to take care of our borders immediately day one. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We have more liquid gold than anybody else.
Today, Harris will visit North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The former president will head to North Carolina and Wisconsin, too. And the Yankees force a Game 5 in the World Series with an 11-4 win over the Dodgers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Partly cloudy. It's 65 this morning in Pensacola. A vehicle that had been stolen in Alabama crashed outside the gates of NAS Pensacola yesterday afternoon. Escambia County deputies were following the vehicle at that time. They say the driver was speeding when the crash happened. The driver wasn't hurt. No other details have been released at this point. A Pace man has died after a motorcycle crash on Chemukla Highway last night. FHP says the man was riding northbound near Smyer Drive when an SUV pulled out in front of him. The rider was pronounced dead at the scene. Troopers say the 35-year-old driver of the SUV also suffered minor injuries in that crash. Well, it looks like we finally got a new grand opening date for Bruce Beach Park in downtown Pensacola. The new opening date for the second phase of the park has been set for November 8th. Mayor D.C. Reeves said in his press conference yesterday that bacteria testing has been done and there's been no health advisories for the Bruce Beach area from September 30th until October 23rd. The latest phase of the work on Bruce Beach, of course, includes the updated walking paths and the kayak launch. Well, there were some reports yesterday making the rounds that the shopping center building where Hobby Lobby and Books A Million are located had been purchased by a church and those stores were set to close. But Hobby and Book shoppers appear to be safe because both of those stores will remain where they are throughout their lease terms. The building on Davis Highway was sold to a Destiny Worship Center, but for now the church says that building is going to be primarily an investment property and they're not planning on expanding into Pensacola just yet. Destiny Worship Center does have locations in Crestview, Freeport, Fort Walton Beach, and Panama City. Now, there was some big news last week. The Pensacola Airport was awarded $4 million in federal grant funding from the FAA's Airport Terminal Program. The first time Pensacola has been awarded funding from that program, Mayor D.C. Reeves said it could open the door to more of that funding in years to come.
But the good news is, we're looking at it, if we're calling it a $90 million airport terminal at the moment, that's under design, between the state's $5 million and the Fed's $4 million. That's $9 million of found grant dollars to help us make that terminal project happen. We continue to push forward on the bonding, on the design, and everything else. We continue our airport team working diligently on that.
And Reeves says the airport has already surpassed 3 million passengers for the year. And some good news as they head into the busy holiday travel season. A 400-plus acre parking lot expansion is set to be completed next month before the busy travel season. An elections worker is no longer employed after an incident that was caught on video in Miami-Dade County. The county elections department there announcing yesterday that an employee had been fired after ballots fell out of the back of a truck in Cutler Bay. The already voted ballots were in a sealed bin and in a sealed bag. They fell out of the back of the truck because the employee apparently forgot to lock it. Elections officials credit residents who recorded the incident for turning the bin and the bag into police. Election staff verified the seals were intact and said nothing had been tampered with or damaged. The seals were checked and verified again once they were brought to the elections headquarters. the election supervisor there, Christina White, told CBS News that the votes had already been tabulated before they fell out of the truck. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a few passing clouds. Temperatures warming up near 81 degrees for the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. As we head into your Halloween, temperatures near 80 degrees for your high. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. Keeping the mostly sunny skies around on Friday with a few passing clouds, high near 81 and a low near 66. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it's 65 in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 64 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Join Claimology tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's tomorrow at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I know that Andy Hobbs at the Sheriff's Office is working diligently to hunt down the owners of these homes. Like you mentioned, there's a house in North Point, and they're having the same problem. The mom's in a retirement community somewhere in South Florida. The son's here, and it's pretty much a crack house. So they are working to find her, locate her, and get her buy-in so that they can do what they need to clean up that house. So Andy has a great group of people that work with him in neighborhood services. It does take time to hunt those people down and show them why it's a problem for the community here, but he is working diligently to make that happen.
So that's Ashley Hoffberger, who is the appointed incumbent in District 4, talking during a forum with her and Ron Helms couple weeks ago about this issue of, you know, how, what do you do when you've got a problem house in your neighborhood? Which is an interesting problem, because what if you can't find the owner, or the owner is in South Florida in a nursing home and it's a crack house? Like, these are all challenges, and what do you do? And talking about Andy Hobbs, works for the Sheriff's Department. Big fan. Anyway, talking about that. So this is really kind of hard to figure out, right? Sheriff Simmons was with us yesterday. By the way, welcome back, Sheriff.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good
how
to
you
have
doing?
You. So Andy Hobbs, of course, we're big fans. Andy Hobbs hunting this down and the whole team. This seems like a very labor-intensive challenge when you're trying to figure out who's really the decision maker for a home that is having, whether code enforcement or law enforcement or drug house kind of problems, right?
That's correct. Yeah. As many people know, Chief Hobbs is over. I placed him over our community services division. He and the group, including Ryan Rivera, they do a lot of follow-up on these houses, these locations, really, when we get a complaint about it. A lot of times it is rooted in a code enforcement type of a violation. Sometimes they claim that there are drugs going on, drug deals going on. So we decide, or we determine, really, whenever we get the information, who needs to look into it. We have Ronnie and them do a lot of background on it, who owns the property, so we can make contact with them typically. And then we also have, and sometimes we give them a letter saying, hey, you're becoming a nuisance homeowner. You need to stop this. And then there's a long, long list of things we have to go from there. But at least we're letting the homeowner know that we're hip to what's going on at their location. So the second thing is we let them know that we're going to be investigating it more. And if we need to get our narcotics people involved, to potentially do a search warrant and that sort of thing, we'll do that. That's what Ashley was talking about. Is it's a big ordeal for us. And there's really limited things that we can do unless we see something or we can get a search warrant for the property.
Yeah, and just because of the legalities of ownership and authority and where people live and whether it's renters or family or any of the other kind, you know, how do you actually deal with that? And it's not quite as simple as somebody's doing bad stuff, let's kick them out.
Yeah, and this is someone's private property.
Right,
And I'm a firm believer in someone's private property. You can pretty much do what you want to in your home as long as you don't, you know, abusing someone else. So, I also believe that neighborhoods can be, can suffer from the actions of one particular neighbor.
Absolutely.
And that's why we put this drug house is torn down, and is closed and that sort of thing, because we do understand that there are homes that people kind of, to me, forfeit their right to just do what they want to because they tear up the neighborhood and they commit crimes.
Or they earn a parking, party from the sheriff's van.
Or the sheriff's van, yeah.
That says we're watching
about the
you
sheriff's
all the time.
Van a couple of days ago. People love those things.
Kind of a couple of things that have happened, including one just overnight, I think. You had what is a disturbance involving some homeless folks. Is that right? What happened here?
Yeah, we got a call just a couple hours ago, really. L Street and Herman Street. The call was about a shots fired disturbance. We get there and we're flagged down by what is termed as multiple homeless individuals who were pointing at a guy that they said he had fired a gun at them. We had two victims, at least two victims. We were able to find the suspect. Ended up arresting him after we determined that he did indeed fire a shot. He apparently was extremely intoxicated and had to be taken to the hospital for evaluation before he was taken to the jail. So I guess if you fire a gun and you're intoxicated, hopefully you don't miss it. You don't hit anybody.
You don't want anybody firing a gun. You don't
at
want
all.
Anybody
somebody,
drunk
yeah.
and firing a gun. In fact, I think possession while you're drunk is actually prohibited. The concealed carry statute, you can't be in possession while drunk. You can't go to a bar with the concealed, but you can't be drunk and have a gun either, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, people don't know that. They don't think about it, but that is actually in the law.
Well, you shouldn't have to think about it, right? If
you
got a gun, you should
you think,
be, hey,
you know, don't get behind the wheel
may not
and
be.
Don't get behind the trigger. I mean, these are fairly simple things. You also had a kind of an odd case of somebody shooting into a house over by River Annex Road. Is that right?
Yeah, River Annex Road. A day or so ago, we had, a shots fired disturbance when we get there. So the story goes this way. There is a lady that's in a disturbance with a man that's in his own home. She's trying to get in because they've had a previous relationship. She's trying to get back into the home.
Got it.
He doesn't want her back in the home. She calls another friend, this guy named Grant Bieber. He gets up there and he becomes involved in this disturbance now. And at one point he's at the side door and he's kicking the side door and ultimately shoots a rifle into the
rifle.
I think a .22 caliber rifle.
Okay.
into the door, and the round goes through the door and into the cabinet in the kitchen.
As they do.
And as the victim's sitting in that same area because they're arguing, you're not coming in. Yes, I am. You're not coming in. And then he goes to the front of the house and shoots two more rounds into the house. We ended up charging him with attempted murder because if I'm in a house and you're shooting at me and through my house, you're trying to kill me and you're going to get shot back.
I mean, randomly shooting at a house that you don't know who's inside, maybe that's what, an aggravated assault or a deadly missile or something.
Yeah, if you're inside a house.
But if you know there's a person and you're shooting in the house, I mean, you're clearly trying to kill them.
Yeah, the victim.
Or you, I mean, that's what you're doing.
That's correct. Yeah, there's no other way around it. And the victim, their claim is that whenever the round was fired into it, the pieces of the door frame, you know, was amongst them, and so was the debris and the dust and that sort of thing. I certainly believe that if that happens, you think someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah, most definitely. Wow, that's scary stuff. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I want to go one story back when we were talking about the guy who's sleeping on the sidewalk. Uh-huh. Under the state ban that went into effect October 1st, and I know we've talked a lot about this, but still, it's not yet a crime in Escambia County. They're going to pass it. They haven't passed it yet. The city has passed, but of course you're a county cop. The city has passed their public places one. How has this enforcement been going? Have you been getting calls? Are you having to move people? Just has it been anything? Because I know when we first talked, it seemed like really nothing, and we're almost a month in now.
Well, if you recall, there's a couple things here. There's the state statute that doesn't mention law enforcement, and there's all the words of the state statute. Law enforcement is not mentioned in there. So there's that, which means that the county has whatever obligations are in the state statute. I'll let them decide which ones they're going to abide by, or they're going to address. And then there's the city of Pensacola is dealing with, as I understand it, a public and a private statute. Or ordinance. And we at the county, I've been in contact with some of the commissioners, and there's some support that for consistency amongst these ordinances with the city and the county, which I think is a good idea. I think whatever, if you can, whatever we can do to be consistent with our enforcement is a good
step. It's better
forward.
For the citizens for if the law doesn't change when you cross some invisible line. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go across the street and it's different over there. Yep. Because no one really knows exactly where the border is.
Yeah.
You know, so
what's the law? What color is a trash can? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It just depends. You know, and then even our dispatchers have to talk about different things because what side of the intersection was the crash on and all that
right.
nonsense. But right now, as I understand it, the county is looking at potentially similar, maybe not exactly, but similar ordinances to what the city is has looked at. And as I understand, they passed the public one, but not yet the private one.
The city actually dropped the public one or the private one. They dropped the private one. But they did pass the public one.
Yeah, and I can see some value in both of those. Obviously, the public one is consistent with the state statute, which it makes it against the county ordinance to do what's already in the state statute, which allows also the law enforcement to say, "Hey, you can't be here." So we can work together. Is my point. And we're certainly willing and ready to do that with our county.
It sounds like you haven't had much cause for action on this. It hasn't been a lot of calls because that seemed like where we were maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah, I don't recall. I don't know that we've had any more calls about, now that the law has changed, let's go ahead and do this. Because I think people understand that it'll be until January
when
things
they
are
have
really
the lawsuit,
kicking in.
Right.
And they also, I'm hoping that people will pay attention and understand that the county commission is looking into this. They're not... just looking the other way, they're doing something.
Right.
And again, that's not for me to determine. That's up to the Board of County Commissioners to determine what avenue they want to go. I have had some conversations and some communications with our Board of County Commissioners, and I have asked them to be consistent, if they can be, with the city. I haven't really discussed whether we should do a private one, but we are discussing potentials to having a private property ordinance as well. Because as we talked about earlier, if they say there's abandoned Hardee's right across the street from the sheriff's office.
Right.
And that means that people can just stay there and we have a hard time finding out who owns the place, getting someone to come and say, you have to go and trespassing. I do think that there's some room for a private ordinance as well.
No, I just didn't like the shape of the Pensacola City one, but certainly there's a concern there. There's balancing interest there, obviously.
Yeah.
You got a visit from the governor. He just showed up at your door on a Friday morning. Want to talk about Amendment 3.
Almost. I was sitting at home on a Thursday night and got a call from the governor's people. Said, "Hey, so what are you doing tomorrow morning? What do you need?"
Sounds like they asked you on a date.
Yeah, well,
they did at your house, right?
And can we come to your house? Hey, let's have a party.
Can we'll you host us at your house for a thing? Yeah, tomorrow morning.
No, the governor's team called up, and this is not the first time. This is like the third time they've come specifically to the sheriff's office. He's obviously come to several other places in town. But on Thursday night, people asked me, "Hey, how'd that happen? You kind of kept it a secret." We weren't keeping secrets. So I got a call on Thursday night and say, "Can we be there till next morning?" And so I made some phone calls and made sure that our room was available. And we made our room available, quite frankly. And then the governor's staff came up there and they were very nice about it because they asked if I was supporting or against
good.
The
yeah,
amendment,
that's good.
Right?
It'd
that
be awkward question. To show up for a press conference against Amendment 3 and you're like, holding I'm kind of for it, you know?
No, but we're obviously in line. The Florida Sheriff's Association has, they have made their position known that they're against Amendment 3, and I'm against Amendment 3. I made some examples of some middle school. I think at one point we had 14 middle school
students. Yeah, shared that audio yesterday, yeah.
They had an adverse reaction, and that's with it illegal. That's with gummies when it's not legal here. And I can only imagine what would happen if it's legal here, that's one of the main reasons that I'm against, and then the potency of the marijuana is different than what it used to be.
And that's been kind of my take, is aside from everything else, I just don't want my kids growing up in a more marijuana, marijuana-opoly or whatever we'd have. So anyway, I did want to ask you, though, first of all, you have Movie Night Friday, right?
I have Movie Night Friday at the
November
Equestrian
1st.
Center,
okay,
right
the Equestrian
there
Center.
Up in Beulah. I'll be honest, I think we're watching Mario Brothers or one of those movies.
Not a Halloween movie?
Well, it's after Halloween, so we're free to show whatever you want.
Could be a Christmas movie.
Yeah, well, it could be a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, could be. Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, great. All right.
I'll see you there.
But on that note, every year for Halloween, we just want to make sure people are thinking safety.
Right.
From the sheriff's office point of view, from the sheriff's point of view, things you want to tell parents, things you want to remind people about, drivers, please slow down. Be aware. You got lots of little critters running around and that's the last thing anybody wants to have happen, right?
Right. There's a couple things we tell them. Again, obviously, if you're driving and sometimes people drive the cars and they drive into neighborhoods or they watch your kids from their car, please be careful. There's kids running around. They're excited. Normally, we talk to people about the costumes, having some sort of reflection on it, carry flashlights, especially if it's cold. And I'm not sure of the weather, but I don't think it's going to be too cold. Sometimes people will get a nice reflective costume, but they'll put a jacket over it, a dark jacket, and there's difficult to see them. I also remind them when they're backing out, like if you're backing from a driveway, because I seem to recall about a month ago there was some horrific story about a parent that backed over their own child, and that happens a couple times a year, unfortunately. I told them, some people I was talking to earlier, that if you can, have a spotter out there, have someone out there. If you're going to do it any day of the year, do it on Halloween. To make sure that these children are safe, because again, that is certainly a tragedy that no one wants.
Absolutely. Sheriff Simmons dressing up for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm probably going as a cop this year.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Good one. Yeah. Current uniform?
Huh?
Current uniform?
Yeah. Well, I might
cowboy
wear long
hat.
Sleeves. Long sleeves.
Long
and a cowboy hat. Why are you asking so many questions, man?
I don't know. It's just on my mind. It's Halloween, You ask weird questions. Sheriff Jim Simmons, well, thank you for the time, as always. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping our kids safe, and I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Why are you asking so many questions? Literally my job, sir. No, why are you asking so many weird questions? No, that one I can't explain. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, hey, if you need an electrical, a heating, an air conditioning, or a plumbing thing fixed or looked at or worked on or upgraded or inspected, Peden. They will take care of you for all of those needs. It kind of makes sense. If you do one, you might as well kind of do all of those things, because they're all sort of in the inside the house complicated things category. Peden will come out. Professional folks show up on time. good quality service products, you know, installed right the first time, standby at 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's kind of the name that they have made for themselves. And, of course, they've been around for 55 years all across the Gulf Coast, you know, starting in Panama City and expanding and been in Pensacola for forever and Tallahassee and Baldwin County last year and then Mobile County this year. So they have really been expanding east and west and kind of become the go-to folks for all of those needs. So whatever it is that you need, Peden can take care of it. And now, actually, during, well, for basically today and tomorrow, because it's an October special, so if you want to call right away. But they'll do free duct inspections, which, you know, the reason you do this is because you don't want to turn the heat on not having had an inspection to make sure that everything's okay. You know, and you're going to pretty soon, maybe not today, okay, turn on the heat and kind of find out what's going on. Well, they'll do a free duct inspection for you. Find out more or schedule an appointment at Peden, PEADEN.com.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What'd you dream?
I dreamed about a guy in a dirty red and green sweater.
Well, what about the fingernails?
Oh, he scraped his fingernails along things. Actually, they were more like finger knives or something. Something he'd made himself.
Good morning, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Tomorrow is Halloween, so we are on all the Halloween, at least the clips, not necessarily the music, but that'll be tomorrow. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, an Iowa resident has died after contracting a rare disease. The Iowa Department of Health and Human Services hasn't released the name of this person, but they passed away from Lassa fever. It's a rare illness similar to Ebola, apparently spread by rats in West Africa. The person had recently traveled over to that area.
Cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Got a question. How far into that 3-hour Trump Rogan podcast?
2 hours and 10 minutes, I think, somewhere like that. Yeah.
Well,
no, I'm still going.
I've got
good news, everyone.
Now you can sit through another 3 hours with J.D. Vance.
Oh, my God. No. No, make it stop. Make it all stop. Joe Rogan and J.D. Vance?
Yeah, he'll be sitting down for an interview with Rogan. J.D. Vance will. Of course, the Trump one has been seen over 37 million times on YouTube.